Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Here we go with the Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you would like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3755 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays over there, so look out for one of them. But, you know, hey, stop by over there just to see what the heck's going on. You never know what might pop up. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, don't forget to click that link and follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Well, of course, Dan and I are out there on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three.
All right, Dan. Well, obviously we had, I don't know, huge, gigantic, over-the-top baseball news today. It started out with Major League Baseball concluding their investigation into the Astros cheating scandal, and it was decided that general manager Jeffrey Luhnow and manager A.J. Hinch would both be suspended for the 2020 season. They were stripped of first and second round picks in 2020 and 2021. And the team was also fined $5 million, which is the most a team can be fined. So that was the max there. Then the Astros owner came out, and I'm drawing a blank on his name. Let me see. I thought it was Jim Crane. For some reason, I thought it was Jeff Crane. But, yeah, Jim Crane came out and then basically just dropped the hammer and decided it was better for the organization, instead of dealing with the suspensions, to just fire Luhnow and Hinch. So now they need a manager and a general manager after Crane came out and just said, hey, that's it. We're cutting ties here. And I thought it was an interesting move on his part. And what's weird is, I've actually seen some complaints on my Twitter feed about the firing, because multiple guys have said that he fired a guy who would do anything to win. Now, obviously, this is Luhnow's second scandal. Remember, we had the thing with the Cardinals that he kind of skated by on. I think they were able to blame that on somebody else. So, you know, first off, you know, A, do you like the penalties? You know, and B, what do you think of the end result here, where the owner just said, that's it, see you guys later?
I think it was probably the best decision they could have made. Well, I guess, well, first of all, when it comes to the $5 million fine, I think I would have lowered it and taken away bonus pool money. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we were both agreement on that. But I think they should have lost some international bonus pool money.
Yeah. I think they should have lost out on that, too, because, I mean, let's be honest, it does hurt them to kind of lose those 20 and 21 picks, but I mean, at the same time, I think it hurts more to lose out on that bonus pool money. So I think that would have been a little bit more detrimental as opposed to $5 million fine. Because, I mean, yeah, I mean, let's be honest, since the World Series run, he could probably just show up like Randy Moss and hand over $5 million to the wherever the fine goes in cash. So, honestly, the $5 million fine, I think, is probably the least significant of the punishment. As far as the firings, I mean, I think it's the only way to go. You want to be able to distance yourself. You don't want to continue to have that reputation as a cheater, you know, as an organization. So with this realm, it kind of confines it to, you know, to the one person, sadly.
So, yeah, I like the punishment baseball came down with. You know, it would have, I would have liked to see bonus pool money as well, but I'm okay with what they did. I give the Astros owner credit. I mean, you know, he's getting rid of two guys who won for him. You know, after you had that team that, you know, you stripped down and was built and it was so horrible. So it's a tough call to make. I know a lot of people would have just, you know, rolled out the year and been like, oh, okay, we'll just pick it up next year with these two guys, and they can kind of pick up where they left off, and, you know, however it worked out. So, yeah, I give him credit for just being like, hey, no, this is it. We're going to cut bait and move on here. But I guess the question now, you know, Dan – you know, Hint and Lunau are now, they're tainted. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Do they get other baseball jobs? I mean, does Hinch manage again? Is there somebody going to, you know, take a chance with Lunau in the front office? Because, I mean, we're talking about two successful guys here. So do they get other jobs?
Yeah, I think we got to state the obvious that I would assume with the way baseball is, that their suspension isn't tied only to Houston. So
yeah, they're done for the year.
You know, so I mean, I don't see them getting anything next year. And I mean, let's be honest, what sucks for them too is with those suspensions, I don't think they get any pay. But you've got to wonder if with their firing, if they get any kind of severance pay, but I mean, let's be honest, that's neither here nor there. I don't think it really affects the decision making in that, but I don't know about the GM, but I definitely think AJ Hinch comes into play. And if we don't see him in 21, I think we'll see him in 22 as a head coach. But you've got to wonder if he gets stuck taking a third base coach job or something like that in 21.
Yeah, you wonder if maybe he's got to be a bench coach, or maybe he's got to take a year and work at like the MLB Network, you know,
yeah,
as an analyst or something like that, to kind of, you know, get his name, you know, back into it. But now, you know, what's going to lead us to the next question here, Dan, is, you know, I know there was, I believe it was the Orioles GM was also suspended for a year because he was part of the Astros front office when this went on. So what happens to Alex Cora? You know, they're still investigating the Red Sox for their stealing of signs, you know, using their replay equipment. He was also the Astros bench coach when all this went on in Houston, and a lot of people have credited him with being the guy who came up with the system. So what kind of, you know, I mean, once they're done with the Red Sox investigation, what kind of punishment is Alex Cora looking at? 2 years, 5 years? Is a year good enough? And then would the Red Sox fire him like the Astros did with Hinch?
I definitely think that if the conclusion is made this offseason, he loses his job. But at the same token, like you said, I mean, will they run it like the legal system would? Would it be concurrent with both, you know, would his investigation into both teams be concurrent? or would they be back to back? You know, and I don't know how baseball has addressed this, and that's probably why nothing came out against him. I think they still have to prove that he was the organizer down in Houston.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that, you know, that may be a little difficult to, you know, to be able to, you know, say, hey, this guy was, you know, was the guy who, you know, who did that. So, you know, we'll have to see, but it's, you know, it's interesting. And then I did hear that, you know, the players themselves aren't going to be punished. Obviously they had a little bit of a hand in this as well, but, you know, some of them have came out and actually said that it was more distracting than it was helpful. And I do know I've actually played with guys who, you know, when we were able to steal signs, didn't want to know. You know, it just didn't help them out. So I can see that. But, yeah, it doesn't appear that there'll be any player punishment. You know, obviously the one former player is Carlos Beltran, who is now the Mets manager. But don't look for any, you know, discipline, you know, on the players or anything like that. But I'm very interested to see, you know, what they kind of do with Alex Cora. I think that's kind of a huge deal there. So I'm really interested that way.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to wonder that given the situation that they've been put in, I'm under the impression that this will be wrapped up by, the end of February.
Yeah, you know, and I fully expect the Red Sox to be fined the $5 million max, just like the Astros. I have no doubt there. I wouldn't be surprised if the penalties are the same, you know, and they get the same draft picks taken away and everything, and then it'll just be up to what the Cora suspension ends up being.
Yeah, and, you know, and if the Red Sox do get fined, do they go back to money back and ask for a loan?
Yeah, well, you know, humorously, that's kind of the last thing the Red Sox need is a big fine like that, because even though, you know, obviously they make hand over fist when it comes to money, you know, even when they're bad, that part still sells out. But, you know, they're like a lot of the teams that are up against that luxury tax crunch. So I'm sure they're just thrilled to have to, you know, are going to be thrilled to have to fork out $5 million. You know, just kind of how it goes. But, yeah, I thought that was, just kind of a huge story to see how this played out and what baseball actually did. I while it took them a long time to act, I do give them credit for making this move. I think basically it was the right thing. Like you and I said, we were looking for kind of some bonus pool money. But, you know, other than that, I agree with these penalties, and I give the owner a lot of credit for, you guys kind of tainted the name. And, you know, in reality, that World Series championship is always going to be tainted. I mean, you know, you're not going to take it away from them or anything stupid like that. But, you know, it's always going to kind of have that little asterisk, like Roger Maris breaking the home run record, isn't it now?
Yeah, pretty much.
So, but on the lighter side, I wanted to move on, and I saw that your Cubs made another big trade to help address their their own little roster crunch, or however you want to look at it here. And I don't know if you saw this, but they have moved on from Tony Kemp. He is now the property of the Oakland A's. So not a Cub for long. He was sent to the A's for a minor league infielder by the name of Alfonso Rivas. For some reason, whoever wrote the article here believes that the A's acquired him to actually compete for their starting second base job. I wouldn't quite go that far with Tony Kemp because he's never shown to be a full-time player, you know, in baseball as it was. But we'll see how that goes. But, Dan, they list Rivas here as you'll get a kick out of this. He's a first baseman. He's also played left field. And Dan, he's a relief pitcher.
Yeah, but Joe Man's not there anymore.
So, but yeah, you know, what's weird is he had some interesting numbers, and this is kind of odd. He played 114 games in high Class A. And then completely skipped over Double A and wrapped up the season by playing 8 games at Triple A. So that, you know, that's a bit of an odd jump. Now the only pitching stats they have from him are in college, so I don't know if maybe he hasn't pitched in the minors at all or how that works out. But you know, again, he's got fantastic numbers. So maybe the Cubs finally got something in the minors. I mean, he's only 23. You know, through the minors so far, just a couple seasons, he's hit 290. Doesn't have a lot of power, just 10 home runs. But, I'll take a 290 guy, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah.
So, but, yeah, they, you know, like I mentioned, for some reason – I kind of get the feeling that Franklin Barreto is going to be the A's starting second baseman. I mean, they've been grooming him for this for a couple years. Could you see Tony Kemp as a full-time second baseman? Are you buying that?
No, not at all.
No. I mean, if it worked out for him, great. I know the A's have kind of, managed to do these kind of things. You know, guys go there, you look at them like, oh, yeah, okay, well, you know, he's just playing out the string. And, you know, they kind of revive their careers a little bit. So maybe, but, you know, I mean, we are talking about a guy, Dan, who had a .183 for the Cubs last year. So I don't know. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see if it works out for him. But, yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting there to see them, making just minor, minor move, which seems to be the way to go. And now, interestingly, Dan, to tie this in with the Astros story, I heard a rumor that one of the first names that came up to take over the Astros after this was Theo Epstein. Would you buy into that at all, as Theo being a guy to go there and clean up the mess?
5 years ago, yeah. Today, no.
And that was, I know his name hasn't came up as much lately. When jobs kind of open up. So I thought that was a bit of a surprise. But I don't know. Do you, and again, you were really the only guy who noticed this, noticed the fact that the way he rebuilt can no longer be done. Do you think what's the best way to say it? I guess the lack of the Cubs not being able to really even contend for a World Series again, you think that's hurt his legacy Or is he just still kind of living off the fact that he brought a championship to Chicago, you know, plus what they did in Boston? Uh-oh, did I kill Dan? Oh, come on, Internet. Not now. Yeah, we lost Dan. All right, let's wait for Dan to retrograde in here, as my, you know, my internet does fun stuff for me, because, you know, that's what my internet likes to do. I'm sure you've you've heard this plenty of times on the podcast before, but yeah. So yeah, I found that you know, a little on the interesting side. There we go. We got Dan back. Let's see how this works out for me. There you go. Did that bring you back in, actually?
Yeah, this time.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, I was asking you, Dan, do you think the Cubs' lack of really, you know, they've been a playoff team, but really not contending for a World Series, do you think that's kind of hurt Theo's legacy a little bit, or was winning the one World Series here enough?
No, I don't think it was enough at all. I think he's got to do more to really make him, you know, a high-value target, especially for a team like the Astros, who have, you know, not only won the World Series, but gone back for the two times, or just the ones.
Well, some champions, but,
you know,
remember if they were. But, you know, but, like, at least the Astros, you know, you look at them and you think contender.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're like, oh, okay, yeah, this team could win a World Series. You know, when you've looked at some of these Cub teams, I mean, even when they go back to the playoff, you don't really go, oh, yeah, that team's got a shot to win. So, so, yeah, I just, you know, I kind of thought that was interesting that, you know, it was his name that popped up right away. I mean, he was the first name mentioned. And I was just kind of like, really? That would be the way to go? I would think there would be other, you know, other guys kind of in the pipeline or something that you would want to look at. But, yeah, I don't know.
Well, I mean, not only that, you can't look at him, you can't talk to him.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know. Do you know what his contract is about? I don't know what kind of contract he's got.
I know it was for 5 years, but I'm trying to get that. But I forget what year it was, you know. It happened.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I have no clue when it comes to, you know, those kind of guys. But you know, yeah, well, you know, we did have some, you know, some other. I don't know. You want to call them? You know, I think maybe only one of these could be really interesting. And I saw that the Rangers agreed with Todd Frazier on a one-year deal, just a $5 million guarantee. So it's not going to cost them a lot to bring Frazier in. You know, Danny, you know, he's coming off a year where he hit a little better. He hit .251, which is above his career average. You know, he's always had really good power. Do you like this signing? And then B, does this take them out of the running for Anthony Rendon? Because, you know, he had been a target, for Nolan Arenado, I mean. Because, you know, they were one of the teams they talked about trying to make the big trade. My third base was mixed up there for a minute.
Yeah. No, I think it takes them out of it. But, you know, I mean, it is the American League. So, you know, anything is possible. They could use both those guys as, you know, DHs. So I think a one-year deal was smart to go with it. But, you know, bouncing back to Theo, it was a five-year contract that was set to expire in 2016. So they, you know, agreed to a 5-year extension that would take him through, you know, if this date is correct, through the end of September 2021, or, you know, through the end of the 2021 season. So, but I don't have any details on him being able to opt out.
If
somebody was fired down in Houston, but I mean, we've seen stranger things. So, but back to that, I mean, I didn't really know what to make of one of the greatest third basemen in Chicago history, or for the time he played with the White Sox, because, you know, Chris Bryant played too many positions to be considered a full-time third baseman at the time. But, you know, I thought it was a style of signing for a team that's still continuously trying to improve.
Yeah, you know, and obviously they, you know, they needed somebody to play the position. You know, they were big in on Anthony Rendon. That didn't work out. You know, so, you know, they've been targeting Arenado, but who knows, you know, if or when a trade like that would happen. So, you know, somebody's going to have to play third base. But, and then, you know, one of the other signings, you know, the Tigers inked Ivan Nova to a really, really low money deal. I saw that it was $1.5 million. And apparently it does have some incentives, but those weren't released. You know, and again, I mean, you know, Nova's not going to blow anybody away. He's just that veteran starter you put in your rotation to eat up some innings. You know, that's what he did with the White Sox last year. He actually made 34 starts and pitched 187 innings. You know, I mean, he was 11-12, and the ERA was 4.72. So, I mean, again, you know, he's not winning the Cy Young, but it's a nice, solid little signing for a rebuilding team. But the signing I found kind of interesting here, Dan, and I'm wondering if maybe going back here can work things out. The Dodgers signed Alex Wood. 1 year, just $4 million. You know, he's another one of these just injury-plagued lefties. Only made 7 starts for the Reds because of injury last season. But those 2 years before, he was a Dodger. You know, in 2018, he was 9-7 with a 3.68 ERA. But, you know, in 2017, he had that breakout year. He was 16-3. With a 2.72 ERA, you think going back to the Dodgers, you know, a little more familiar territory where he's had success, you know, does it help this guy out, or is he just going to continue to be the injury-prone mess that he is?
I think he might continue to be an injury-prone.
So, yeah, I just, you know, like I said, that one, you know, when I saw that, I was kind of like, huh. You know, and now, you know, the Dodgers have made, you know, these kind of almost what you would call un-Dodger-like moves. I mean, they went out and they bring in Jimmy Nelson. So they bring in the injured right-handed pitcher. Now they bring back Alex Wood, who's the injured left-handed pitcher. You know, they didn't really make that gigantic move or that gigantic signing, and obviously there's still time for them to do it. Are you a little surprised to see the Dodgers not coming up with that yet, or do you just kind of think maybe something is down the road?
I think it's possible something's down the road.
You know, because I know, you know, it's kind of funny because, you know, and I think it's because of their farm system that every time there's a trade out there, you know, the Dodgers name comes up along with the Yankees. You know, you go to the Yankees or the Dodgers. So that's always kind of humorous. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, do you – you know, I was kind of under the impression that they were going to be the ones that ended up with Mookie Betts. Do you see that happening, or do you think maybe, you know, it's Lindor? And I know they've had talks with Arenado, but I would be shocked if the Rockies agreed to deal him within the division. You know, that would have to be a package of prospects to just make your life, I think. So, yeah, I mean, you got a front runner there that you think might be their main target?
I really don't. I mean, if you think about who surprises, you know, would your team be open to take on $27 million for an outfielder that
no.
I think they could definitely use?
No, not in the position they're in. You know, he's got to go to a winner, right?
Yeah.
You know, and then I did, you know, unfortunately, I did forget to mention Chris Bryant, who is also part of the rumors that come along with the Dodgers. So.
Well, and that's why I was laughing when you brought up the Nolan Arenado kind of thing was, you know, there was a picture I seen earlier today, and it was a picture of Nolan Arenado smiling while Javi Baez gave him, I wouldn't say it's a hug, but, you know, one of those things that players engage in when they're on the field, you know, after the tag or whatever. You know, Baez is kind of facing Arenado, and he's got kind of an arm around him or something. And, you know, of course, what are they alluding to? You know, with these two guys, how great would these two guys be playing together?
Yeah.
And, you know, and again, it just kills me. I mean, why would you want to move a guy who's young and youthful and still able to perform for you over a guy who's got some more time on his hands, you know? But then it makes you wonder with all the, you know, getting Chris Bryant out of town talk that our local press provides, you know, what do they know that we don't know?
Yeah, it's so weird here. When it comes to the Cubs, where the media kind of gets the fans to turn on a guy, and then that guy, you know, that guy's got to go. We got to get rid of this guy. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, we saw it with Castro. You know, it kind of happened with Contreras and Baez, but luckily they were smart enough to not move either of them. You know, now it's Bryant's turn, and what I keep laughing when I hear this is, yeah, we're going to get rid of Chris Bryant, but then we're going to take on a contract 7 years, $260 million. What's the difference? You know, and obviously, you know, Arenado is a better defender than Bryant. He's probably the best defensive third baseman in baseball. You know, maybe. You know, Matt Chapman could be in that argument, but, you know, is he really, you know, is he going to be that much better in the offseason, you know, in, you know, as a hitter? And I hate to bring up the Colorado thing, but it really showed last year, and he hit much better in Colorado than he did on the road. So, you know, it's a little something, you know, and I'm sure wherever he goes, he'll hit. But I just don't understand moving Bryant to add a very similar type of guy. I mean, I don't understand how that makes sense. I mean, Bryant's got to go just for the sake of Bryant has to go. That seems kind of stupid to me.
Well, and, you know, what I kind of meant from our media is, are they pushing that agenda because they might know that Chris Bryant and Scott Boras do not plan on re-signing here once the contract's over. But at the same time, like you said, how do you move a guy to make the trade for the same guy, an older version? So, you know, let's just say for some reason, or, you know, someone is willing to take Chris Bryant and give you 4 to 5 prospects, one that quite possibly could play in 2020. Okay, now you've got these 5 guys. How the hell are you going to get Arenado away from Colorado?
Yeah. Well, you'd have to send those five guys to Colorado.
Yeah. So now, like you said, you're basically at the same point.
Yeah.
The same position you were in, except you have a longer extended contract to try.
Well, now, I did get an email from Schomburg's columnist yesterday, and he told me that he thinks Colorado would take Jose Quintana and Jace Hayward for Nolan Arenado. So,
based on what?
I don't know. I was afraid to ask. I just kind of, you know, politely said I didn't think that would work. But you know, like we'll see. You know, if you think that's it. But yeah, you know, then kind of, you know, jumping back to the Dodgers real quick because I want to get your opinion on this. You know, I heard somebody on the MLB Network say they need hitting. Do you see the Dodgers as a team that needs to add a hitter?
No.
yeah, I was kind of surprised by that decision, you know. I was kind of baffled. Hitter, where do you add him at?
Yeah, you would definitely have to arrange a trade because, I mean, you know, what is the weakest position on that team? There's only, like, really one if you think about it, and that's only depending on the day of the week.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I get it. They're going to start the rookie at second base. Maybe that ends up being a weakness. And, you know, catching, you know, I know they don't have household names with Will Smith and Austin Barnes, but you know, other than that, I don't know, you know, where you get the hidden thing. And I get it, you know, if you acquire Betts, Jock Peterson is going in that deal, so Betts can play right field. You know, I would just kind of assume that would be the nature of the deal. But yeah, I didn't really see it as like a pressing need where it's like, oh yeah, we've got to, you know, they got to go get a hitter. Oh, okay. I didn't think so, but all right, sure. You know what? You know, it fall, kind of falls into that thing of, well, what's going on?
Yeah, and looking at Nolan Arenado's contract, he signed through 2026 and not a free agent until 27, and from this season on to 2024, he's getting $35 million a year. And if Colorado was looking to extinguish some of that contract money, I highly doubt they would pick up both Jason Hayward and
Well, and there is, right, obviously he's got the full no-trade clause, but I believe he's got an opt-out as well coming
sure.
up, doesn't he?
After 2021. So, I mean, if you're
yeah.
the Cubs, you pretty much want – well, let's not even – let's just say you're the Cubs. You're any team that trades for him. You're essentially hoping that in 2020 he has a great season. And then in 2021, he has an even better season to where his, you know, head is a little bit more inflated and he goes, yeah, I'm opting out. But if you've noticed anything, you know, and I'm glad no one brought this up, but I think if we follow any one of these huge contracts, who opts out of these? I don't think anyone has yet, unless it was a lower tier deal. So, you know, Nolan Arenado is not opting out of that contract after next year. And then bouncing back to the Dodgers, Big Jack, I saw something over the last week or so that I just, you know, I guess I didn't think of this. And when the whole cheating, you know, hearings were going on with Major League Baseball, but the picture was, it was simple. It was a picture of Clayton Kershaw And how different is legacy, you know, the question, how different would his legacy look if the Astros and the Red Sox hadn't cheated? Or the Red Sox allegedly cheated.
That
throws a whole new wrench into that whole system, you know, that whole theory. You know, does Clayton Kershaw now get an asterisk next to his name when he goes into the Hall?
Yeah, you know, and I know, you know, they had a quote from Coach Bellinger on that. He was just, you know, he didn't really say anything huge. He was just kind of like, you know, some of the effect of we did our best and it just didn't work out kind of type thing. But, yeah, it was just kind of like you wonder how it would look, you know, kind of depending. I mean, imagine if the Dodgers had won both those World Series.
Mm-hmm.
So
would he be getting $40 million a year?
Yeah. One of those things. I mean, we would, you know, would we be talking about him as the best pitcher ever?
Yeah.
So. You know, that's, again, you know, it's just one of those, you know, one of those kind of things that, you know, what, obviously we don't know it, you know, it's tough to judge, but yeah, I mean, that would make just a gigantic amount of difference, I'm sure, in how some people view him, you know, because right now there's a stigma about him as a postseason pitcher, so.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's just kind of interesting, and you know, we'll see. I am quite quite interested to see what moves are still made when it comes along. I mean, you know, will we see, you know, the Arenados or the Betts? And I know it's been reported that the Indians aren't going to move Lindor this off season. They're going to wait until the season and see how it goes. But yeah, you know, will we see that, or, will Bryant actually get moved after all the talk? So, there's still some interesting baseball stuff to go before you can, decide, you know, who's a playoff team and who's not a playoff team. And, you know, then all the Cub fans can jump on the bandwagon of how bad the Cubs are going to be this year, even though there are quite a few of them on there now. I just think it's hilarious. You know, maybe you can answer this for me, Dan. You can figure this out for me.
Thank you.
You know, now I get if you're a Mariners fan, you're a Tigers fan, you're an Orioles fan, you know, the teams like that, the Marlins. You go into the season basically understanding that your team is not going to be competitive if they're trying to do something. But, you know, for example, like here in Chicago, you know, the Cubs didn't miss the playoffs by that much last year. I know it was a disappointing season. But why is everybody just so down on them? Is it the fact that, you know, they got spoiled from winning a World Series? I mean, like, you know, obviously, Sean McCoy and I go back and forth on this a lot. Already got him as a fourth place team. To be fair, I think he was a fourth place team last year. So I don't understand the, you know, they finally get a good team and it's nothing but negativity because what, they're not good enough?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, this was the team that was supposed to win 100 plus games every year.
Well, now, to be fair, remember, last year they were projected to be under 500.
Yeah, well, that's true. What was it, 81?
So,
They're supposed to win 80. And
yeah, they're supposed to be 80 and 82. So, you know, but I mean, they competed pretty much all year. I know they fell off there kind of towards the end. You know, things didn't really work out. But I mean, you know, when you look at their team and, you know, you look at their division, have people not realized that the Cardinals have done absolutely nothing? You know, the Brewers have only done what you would call Brewer-like moves. You know, Cincinnati has made some improvements, but that's a big jump for a team to make, especially in a quality division. You know, why are we crapping all over the Cubs, who look like they have, you know, three or maybe even four pretty good starting pitchers and a lineup that you just think naturally should hit? Why do they crap all over this team like that?
Well, you know, here's one thing to kind of add to it. You know, anybody who would see Theo, you know, I'm sure going into Starbucks with Javi before the game starts. I'm sure you heard those rumors. Javi runs over in his uni. But, you know, if you see him at the hotel pulling up, whatever it is, you know, they're just going to, you know, roll out the red carpet, bow down, and, you know, kiss the pinky no matter what. But at the same time, these are the same fans who are upset with the Jason Hayward and his performance, or lack thereof, however you want to put it, how Yu Darvish's, you know, numbers didn't really live up to where it should be, even though he was injured half the time. And then you have the Tyler Chatworth signing, the Brandon Morrow. So you're going to, you know, we can continue and kind of go on all these signings, but who are they all made by? Theo and Judd. So these guys get all the praise, but yet the players, because they're not performing up to their contract standards or terms, are the ones really getting crapped on. But wouldn't you say it has something to do with Theo, Judd, and Jason McLeod and their lack of scouting? Or maybe over future scouting or over projecting? I don't know what it is we're looking at. So that's one of the things that confuses me, Big Jack, is, you know, Theo and Joe get all this praise, but yet under Joe's term, they went from one of the best teams in the National League to just kind of falling into almost like a Bulls position. You know, almost turning into what the other major Chicago teams aren't doing.
Yeah, I, again, there are a lot of questions when it comes to Theo and, you know, the Jed regime that, like you said, people just aren't asking. I mean, yeah, they did a fantastic job of rebuilding, and, you know, it worked out, but, you know, now, you know, those guys aren't performing. I mean, Kyle Schwarber can hit home runs and not much else, and Ian Happ has a difficult time just making the major league roster. So, you know, you got to kind of wonder how that goes. But, you know, you mentioned the signings. You know, Hayward has struggled. Darvish can't seem to stay healthy. You know, I know you loved the Daniel Descalzo signing last year. I mean, that was fantastic. You know, they brought Tyler Chatwood in. That didn't work out. Even though it looks like he's going to get another shot in the rotation this year. You know, the more Jose Quintana pitches, the more it looks like they gave up way too much to get him. So, you know, yeah, when do you start going, hey, wait a minute, you know, you screwed this up. And then let's face it, I don't care how highly touted they thought Joe Maddon was. He did a poor job his last couple of years here as their manager. So I don't know, I know the one World Series win gives you carte blanche, especially here.
Yeah.
But yeah, he did a poor job. So.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I've got some friends that, you know, they look at me, you know, especially, you know, even randoms that I meet here and there in the city, you know, they see the Cubs jacket, and you get the high five. My wife would prefer that I didn't because, you know, everyone's got germs and we're all going to get the flu and die. Yeah. You know, and the first thing they always say, man, I'm worried. You know, this David Ross managing the team, you know, and I'm like, you know, at this point of the game, I think that's the least of the worries. I think you could have just, you know, took all your potential hirees, put them on a wheel, spun it, and said, ah, it landed on David Ross. Let's bring him in a coach. You know what I mean? Because I think at this point, you're going to get an upgrade no matter what. And, you know, the thing that worries people about the David Ross signing is, well, I think there's a 50-50 crowd. I don't know what you would gauge it as, but you've got all these people that are just, you know, I guess really don't know the game of baseball. So they just think this is an amazing signing. You know, it's going to be it's going to be such a great time. Grandpa Rossi's back and all that crap, but he has no track record to speak of, absolutely none. So what can we base off of him? And what I'm hoping for is that we get a David Ross that comes in that's played the game for over, I forget how long it was, a career, like 10, 13 years, that kind of brings back some consistency, some old, maybe a little bit of older school management to this Cubs roster. Because to me, that's what I think they need, as opposed to, well, Monday there's a right-handed pitcher, so Kyle Schwarber, you could play, but on Tuesday and Wednesday, Kyle, there's left-handed pitching, so you can't play. And, you know, Javi, this guy likes to, you know, these guys like to, you know, hit ground balls over here, so you're going to play in this position instead of this one. And Chris Bryant, we're going to put you in right field and have your replacement as a guy who should only come in the late innings as a pinch runner or a pinch hitter for the pitcher. To play the entire game this week because, you know, Ben Zobrist sneezed and he can't play this week. And Daniel Descalso, you know, tripped over his shoelaces. You know what I mean? So, I mean, it's going to go either way with David Ross, but, you know, it's the perfect excuse built in for Theo if it does work out or it doesn't work out. So, I mean, yeah. it's you know, you kind of throw your hands up and I'm definitely not expecting the worst, but, you know, I'm not expecting – I'm waiting and seeing. I'm not just giving up on this team right away because I'm not flabbergasted with the David Ross signing, and I'm upset that they didn't go out and spend, I don't know, Big Jack, how much would you say, about $90 million for two guys, for Garrett Cole and, you know – But, you know, there you go. I'm crapping on this team because they didn't sign Garrett Cole, Madison Bumgarner, and, you know, try to trade Zach Greinke away from the Astros. Oh, and let's not forget, they didn't trade for Mookie Betts, you know, so they could have a $500 million payroll a year and lose every draft pick for the next 10 years.
Yeah, and, well, you know, that's the thing I always kind of chuckle about is it's just, so easy to spend everybody else's money.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like, oh, yeah, let's just go and, you know, and that's what I always kind of chuckle because your guy David Kaplan is fantastic at that. You know, he'll get on there and he'll be like, oh, yeah, well, let's just go out and sign, you know, this guy, that guy, oh, it doesn't matter. You know, they can spend all the money they want. Like I said, it's easy to say when it's not yours.
Yeah. Well, you know, and then the other side of it is, you know, like I said, Theo gets all the praise, and then when he's not able to sign Garrett Cole and every other body, you know, Bryce Harper and Anthony Rendon and, you know, let's just keep going with anybody who's making $25 to $35 million a year. What is his excuse on that end? Oh, well,
yeah.
I'm not going to say it out loud, but basically Tom told me I can't spend any more money.
Yeah.
Well, and why is he telling you that? Because you wasted money. So, I mean,
you know,
you know, we throw out Theo as the next guy to go down to Houston, and I don't know what you would say he's going to do, save it, rebuild it, whatever. I'm not putting all my money on Theo anymore.
Yeah, and, you know, now, to be fair, I, you know, yes, I know there were football games yesterday, but I, or this week, I don't think any of them were very good. You know, I know the Seahawks made a game out of it late, but I didn't really think they were going to win. You know, Houston, Kansas City was exciting because there was a lot of offense, but that was about it. And, you know, Tennessee, I mean, I'm sure everybody was shocked Tennessee dominated the Ravens the way they did. And then what was the other game? Who else? Yeah, San Francisco kind of just roughed up Minnesota. So they weren't fantastic games to watch. And yes, I know there's a college football championship game last night, but or tonight, but it's been 3 weeks since either of these teams have played. Dan, do you even know who's playing in the college football championship tonight? I know you're a huge fan.
I have no clue.
So, yeah, just to be fair, it is LSU and Clemson, but, I mean, I don't have any real interest to watch it. You know, I mean, you know, if it was maybe a local team, I would turn it on, but I, you know, and if you do want to watch it, though, Dan, all you got to do is flip on one of the Mickey Mouse networks because it is on every network. They're showing it on every single network they have. So you got that going for you, but yeah, you know, it's not like we don't know these other stuff, you know, this other sports stuff is going on. It's just, you know, I mean, were you, you know, I know you watched the Vikings game. How interested were you in it? I mean, they're your team and they kind of got dominated. You know, was that thrilling for you to watch? I mean, I didn't really enjoy it.
No, I didn't really enjoy it either. And then, you know, I think the last 4 minutes, I was like, no. So I had missed a portion of the Chiefs game. Like you said, I tuned in at the top of the two, and it was, what, 24 to nothing?
Yeah.
So I was like, that's, I'm just going to watch something totally else because this ain't even worth watching. And mind you, with my new Sling subscription, I have limited channels. And my dad changed his Comcast password. So, yeah.
Oh.
That. Yeah. Oh. So I.
Why did he do that?
Anymore. I got nothing. So I'm fighting Comcast for taking away channels on me. But,
yeah,
you know, it was like you see 24 to nothing, you're like, this game's in the bag. And then to tune in, you know, to check the scores this morning, I was like, wow. You know, that's pretty cool. But, you know, maybe this weekend will be a little bit better. But, you know, I think once you're rooting teams are, I'm not 100% an NFLer. So my teams are out. So it's like, I'll watch it if it's on.
Yeah. You know, obviously, you know, I like to root for the Seahawks.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't in that game, you know, yesterday. I mean, they weren't going to win. You know, once they got down and it was like, man, I want them to, but it's not going to happen. And I ended up giving up on it. I was going to stay up and watch the whole thing, but, you know, I have that lovely overnight work schedule. So I ended up just packing in about halftime, maybe a little after halftime. But, yeah, I just didn't think they were good games. You know, like you said, maybe we'll do better this weekend.
First time, really? Radio.com.